This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. It is Thursday, April 30th, the last day of the month of April, which is important as we record this. It's time for a Thursday conversation, but this is a special podcast because it involves my good friend Andrew McGuire. Andrew, who you know, is a longtime precious metals trader. He also is an advisor and director to the new Kinesis monetary system. Someone I've known for years. I trust him implicitly, and he has known and forgotten more about how the global gold market works than I'll ever know. So whenever I can get him on the line to explain current events, man, I jump at the opportunity. Andy, my friend, how are you?
Craig, and let me also say, you have my trust too. Yeah, definitely a you're definitely a beacon of light in this smoke and mirrors world of the gold and silver markets.
And you're feeling better. I know I was very concerned. A lot of people were concerned about you a few weeks ago because both you and your wife had a little COVID battle. But you're back on your feet and feeling good.
Oh, 100%. And in fact, you know, really. we won't get into all of that, but bottom line, I think let's just say that 99.966% of people will survive this. And so, you know, read that as you want. But I think but there's a whole different way of handling this. But hopefully we'll come to our senses soon.
But you're good, feeling fine.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, my friend, we got to just flesh all this out. You've been doing a great job. I saw that, and I posted here at this site, that update you gave, what, about a week ago, maybe?
Oh, the webinar. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it was tremendous. But there are some specifics now that I want to get into. I mean, most folks know that this whole entire global gold market has really been turned upside down in the last 5 weeks. It's now clear for everyone to see, but the abuses began, you know, how they run the pricing scheme a couple of years ago when the volume of exchange for physical transactions, which is, everyone knows, I've been documenting that for several years now. I mean, 15,000 metric tons of COMEX contracts shifted off of COMEX, allegedly exchanged for physical in London in 2018 and 2019 alone. 15,000 metric. Think about the impossibility of that. So this whole system all kind of suddenly just, what, I don't know, if imploded, exploded, how do we want to phrase it, Andy, back on March the 24th? Take it from there and explain to everybody best you can how that happened, what's the process behind how these markets are broken, and now what it means going forward.
I mean, you said it, Craig. I mean, this was the day that the paper markets broke. And of course, really, let's just sort of keep it simple, because bottom line, what happened was, as gold was being smacked down, if you remember, there was a gold was smacked down into the, let's just say, ridiculously cheap levels. But what happened was that a lot of people wanted to go and buy this, buy gold at this point. And so what they did, if you're a physical in the wholesale market, what you do is you follow the system. Now, the system is such that you buy the over-the-counter spot market, which is actually 10 times the size of the COMEX. It is a foreign exchange market. It's just another foreign exchange cross. We know we've covered this before in our podcast with you as well. And just subscribers know this very well, which a lot of people don't, but it's very important to remember. It's not just a commodity. This is actually a foreign exchange cross.
And that's XAU. So, I'm going to jump in from time to time, make sure people know what we're talking about. That's where it's reflected in XAU USD.
Exactly. Okay. As if it was dollar euro, dollar yen, etc., where you're long one side, you're short the other. It cannot be anything else. So you obviously have a liquid market, very liquid market there, and you would expect bid-ask spreads to be extremely tight. They are in all foreign exchange crosses. The problem is, if you get offside, say for example, there's some bad news and you have, say, the pound suddenly drop against the dollar. There'll always be a price. it'll be, and it'll stay liquid. There'll be a bid and ask, and it will find a place where it settles. Now, it could be that we get central bank interventions, which are openly admitted, where somebody will come in, the Bank of England will come in with the knowledge of the BIS and the Fed, and they'll agree, well, we should support it at this level, or we'll let it rise or fall to a certain level. So, but there'll always be a bid and ask. Now, here's where we're wrong. You cannot have, now you can settle any of those fiat crosses with cash, not a problem. So just print what you have to print. And we've certainly seen a lot of that lately, Fred, haven't we, Craig? So, you know, if it costs a few billion or a few couple of trillion, that's what you have to do to manage the crosses, the general crosses that make up a market. So on, I think it was April, March 31st, April the 1st, we were gifted, let's just say we were gifted with a price, probably the best one to use the example of is March the 16th, because actually you just mentioned those dates. So let's get back to
where we were crashing before QE was announced and this whole thing blew up on March 23rd and into the 24th. Remember, price was smashed all the way down to 1460 for a couple of days.
1460. Okay, so let's put yourself in the shoes of a wholesaler now. You are acting on your client's behalf. You are a bank. You're managing your own positions as well as clients' positions. And what you have is a lot of orders coming in on dips. We tend to get a lot of buyers. Now, this could be central banks. Sovereigns, certainly when you get that kind of a dip into that kind of a level that is considered to be way cheaper than where we all value gold, which is certainly above 2011 high, so more closer to the 2000 level. And you realize that you look at all the other currency crosses, you look at the other, and when I say the currency cross, I'm also looking at the euro gold price. It could be a pound gold price. It could be any of those, all making new highs, fresh new highs all the time, multi-year highs. And suddenly you see a gold priced in US dollars coming down to all time, like to lows that were really coming back to almost a year before. Made no sense. So of course, a lot as a wholesaler, you have orders. And not only did you have orders, you had orders in the 1600 level, you had orders in the 15s, and you had a jamboree. You got in the 1450s, massive orders. So what we call that spot indexing. You lock in a spot price in the wholesale market in London. Now we don't look at the COMEX as a delivery market. It's the most expensive way to try and get a form of delivery. I mean, we'll talk about EFPs in a minute. That's a separate issue. But let's just say you've now spot indexed. You've bought. Now you've got a T+2 delivery obligation here on the guy that's on the other side of that trade. So you've just bought. Now, so you say, I tell you what, we'll actually take this physical delivery. Now, we're not going to stay as part of the 1,800 tons per day that our paper settled. Let's just take, and if you aggregate these, and believe me, just from what we saw, there was probably 200-300 tons worth of buying, physical spot index buying, looking for physical delivery. Hey, there wasn't any physical. What happened? You suddenly, the worst fear you can have as a liquidity provider, market maker in the over-the-counter market is to be actually asked for delivery. Physical delivery if you don't have it.
Right.
Okay, no problem if you have it. If you're in a physical exchange, it's already in the exchange, you deliver it. It's not a problem. But if you don't have it, what do? You want to bail that position as fast as possible, i.e., let me buy back that position quickly and cover myself off. But with everyone suddenly doing the same thing, liquidity became so thin. In fact, what happened was, it was at this point here that the key liquidity provider for the anchor liquidity provider in the over-the-counter markets is UBS, was UBS. Mm-hmm. Believe me, they've been fired. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, by them pulling out, all the other liquidity providers, second-tier liquidity providers, suddenly bailed too. What happened was This T+2 delivery situation with the inability to deliver hit exactly the dates you're talking about, March 23rd, March 24th. So what happened was suddenly you need to escape your liability. You don't have this physical. So you, instead of just, because there was no solution, nothing to roll it into, and the obligations were so huge, literally they bailed as a liquidity provider, actually failing on their obligation with the LBMA and failing the LBMA in their obligation to provide a market, which we just said the bid-ask spread has to be there. We then noticed, and you remember this, the bid-ask spread went to $100
on the physical
over the counter,
right?
On the over the counter market. We won't even call it physical. We'll just call the bid-ask spread on XAU on the currency cross on the actual currency cross. Now, what does that leave you? That leaves you, shit, how do I get out of that position? If there's $100 liability for me to actually just exit that position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, on the other hand, because I am hedged in the only form of hedging, by the way, is in the COMEX.
Right.
So there's two issues here. First thing is that the 10 times larger market makers have to hedge in a 10 times smaller market, the COMEX, which is concentrated in the hands of, we know, of the first tier US-centric bullion banks. So you've got two things going on here. Number one, that's not a very good equation if something goes wrong. And the other thing is that suddenly, because they recognize there's a problem, the price of gold suddenly rises in the futures market. Now you've got two issues. You're trying to get out of your obligation to deliver,
mm-hmm.
and you're taking a $100 hit. And you suddenly also at that time, the futures market price was $80 above even that price. So now, what do you think that's done? That is a broken market. That is the point we've all been waiting for, which is one day this market will break. Well, Craig, it broke.
And it continues, Andy. I mean, it's not like that just happened one day. I mean, this continues, and we're seeing it in silver now too. So is it safe to say it's still broken?
It's still broken. The connection with the over-the-counter market and the COMEX is simply no longer fit for purpose. It's not a safe hedging conduit. And now that's being realized. And we also know that who was hung out to dry? Let's just figure who was actually hung out to dry on this situation when UBS pulled their liquidity out. The European second-tier banks got hurt badly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's created a huge amount of bad blood. And now no one wants to make a market. It's what used to be a decent risk position where you would make a market either side, there'd be a little bit of spread, you'd make some money, you'd be fairly stable. Now everyone is worried, scared of making that market because it could blow again. And that's why we are not seeing any healing at all. Okay, we're seeing a slight closing of the spread. We're seeing a closing of the spread from $80 between spot and futures to maybe 15, 16, 18 bucks, maybe something like that. Interestingly, at every PM fix, it reduces to $7.7 every single time.
I want to get to that in just a second because that happened again today and explains what happened at 8:42 Eastern here on Thursday. When price was smashed into the month-end PM fix. But this broken market, is that why, again, we're seeing, I mean, obvious efforts by the LBMA trying to claim there's 8,000 tons, even though, you know, it's all Bank of England gold and all this kind of stuff. Or the bullshit from Bloomberg carrying their water a week ago talking about the airplane flights from Perth to New York. Come on. I mean, they seem like they're doing everything they can to make it seem as if, you know, oh, no, there's plenty of, go ahead and take that other side of that spot trade. We got it. There, it seems like there's a desperation in trying to, you know, manage a message.
Yeah, and really, let's face it. Look, the COMEX is not the way you buy physical. It is simply not. It is the most expensive route. It is, and it's not. That's not what a wholesaler will do. And he's trying to buy physical.
But the fact that they are, Andy, you know, 31,000 deliveries in April, 8,000 pending for the non-delivery month of May. The fact that they are trying to, you know, procure metal out of the COMEX, I mean, that's got to be kind of a sign too then, right?
Yeah, I know. And as we know, deliveries in quotation marks, often these things are squared just by driving that forklift across the blue line of the center warehouse. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, what you're saying is it could be a route to get physical. I think you just mentioned today, which is, again, we need to look at the elephant in the room today. What was today? It was Bank of International Settlements options expiry. And
last day of the month.
End of month, but it is 3 p.m. at 3 p.m. London time. The BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, has to square their derivative positions. They have to mark them to market. And they're huge. And we've looked at these over the years. I mean, the derivative exposure, probably close to the $1 trillion mark. I'd be really surprised if it was under a trillion. But we're talking about every single derivative. Now, these bets were made a good year ago. And we know this. All you have to do is look at the option structure. And it's very well reflected in the COMEX options structure because they're very, very similar. And you look at the pricing and you look at the barriers and you look at the resistances. And over a year ago, gold was about $1,400 in the 1400s. But it had to be marked to market at 3 p.m. this afternoon. Now, obviously, along the way, there's been some ability to actually cover some of this off bit by bit. But the option structure ahead of today, it absolutely telegraphed that spot gold would not close much above 1700 spot, and which would be around 1711 futures. And that's exactly what happened. But this is so crooked. Yeah. I mean, you talk about suddenly 15,000 contracts just at market. Now that exceeds every single position limit, even though position limits have been increased from 3,000 to 6,000 lots, right. Which good time in there, eh? But I mean, but even so, some of this looks like single ticket stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when you study the markets, when you're crazy enough to study the markets as close as you and I do, we see these footprints, and you just have to connect the dots and call it empirical if you want. But it is so obvious.
And so by the time we got to that fix today, which is 10 o'clock New York time.
Yeah.
They had the price exactly
pretty much 10 o'clock your time. Yeah.
Pretty much right where they needed it.
Exactly where they needed it.
So does that mean do you think you mentioned, let me go with this direction. You mentioned in that thing you did last week, that webinar, mm-hmm. that now everybody that's involved, the banks, need a higher price for gold. Can you, one, explain why that is, how that, you know, helps them in this case? And then two, I mean, does that mean now that we got this behind us that maybe they'll let go and we'll actually begin to rally again?
Yeah, I think a very short term, what you've done is trick the usual fools who trade paper gold on margin to believe that we're going lower. So, but what we're seeing is every single tick is being taken on the long side by these same insiders. And we know for certain, being in the wholesale business, we're absolutely certain who's doing what in, if they're big enough that people are either buying or selling. We know that the bullion banks, every single one, Goldman, we even talked about this, I think, 18 months ago. They're going along for their own book. JP Morgan going along for their own book. Citi going along for their own book. why are they doing this? Because they know that the price of gold is undervalued at these levels. Now, they're not margined. They don't have to be margined. They've got unlimited money to play with here, and they can play the market. But if you're saying, will it go directly up from here? I think not today, perhaps, because you've got people tricked in. But and this is timely because you can. This is going to be published tomorrow. So tomorrow, Friday, is a European holiday. Monday is a UK holiday. There'll be no fixes on Monday and Tuesday. I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a really strong rally commence on the 5th of May. Now, currently we're seeing gold now being we're just watching the chart here. So now it's knocked down all the way to 17, roughly 1703, 1704. Now, let me just tell you something to me, this is beginning to really connect the dots as well, because this 4GC contract.
Yeah.
We need to talk about this now, because
yeah, go for it.
Gold has just hit the exact level where it traded, or let me say, quote unquote, traded on Tuesday.
Right.
This is what I sent this basically to the CFTC, to their metals trading desk. And I said, look, we've seen a token trade on Monday at 1697.60. The June contract at the point that it traded, and we've got evidence that it traded, was 1725.90 when it traded at 1697.60. And spot gold was trading at 1712.50. Now, clearly, this trade was spurious and an embarrassment for the RBM and the CME, and reported this, as I say, to the CFTC. Then just before the pit close on Tuesday, another single offside trade, 4GC contract, was traded at 1760 just before the pit close. Now, GC was at 1722.50. Now, this is supposed to be an exchangeable contract, right? So 1722.50 at this exact moment, spot 1709. And so what we're saying to the CFTC is, look, this is clearly providing a spurious trial balloon arbitrage trade. They're trying you on. Are you going to slam this thing down? Now, what we've just done is watch gold actually hit the level that they actually supposedly did the trade at on Tuesday. So this is outrageous stuff, and live as we're talking.
Oh, and that again, just so everybody remembers, that's that contract that they invented in that latter part of that week, like March the 25th or March the 26th, so that they'd have this new settlement vehicle where you could use partial ownership, fractional ownership of a London bar to settle a COMEX contract. And it hadn't traded at all. They'd posted no trades until Tuesday.
Yeah, and probably out of embarrassment, because we've been drawing a lot of attention to it as well, and demanding from the FCA and the Bank of England and the CFTC, you know, what's going on here? And it's quite clear, and I think when the webinar you referred to, I literally made the statement that the reason it hadn't been marketed by the CME insiders was simply because it would have actually killed the cash cow, the EFP cash cow, and because it would enable the EFPs to be sidestepped, because anyone who wanted a 400-ounce bar in London could actually trade that contract too. And that's why no one's – I mean, look, do you think if you launched something like nearly 4 weeks ago, a contract, don't you think every broker is asking for that so they can their clients can trade it?
You would think.
And we deal with the largest institutional brokers. They haven't got this contract even been offered to them. I think you can go to any broker and ask them, can I please trade the 4GC contract? And they'll say, well, we haven't been offered it. Why is that? I mean, it's ludicrous when you think about it. This thing is just so spurious. And it's good to draw attention to it, Craig, because I think people should ask those questions and get their brokers to ask those questions and to put pressure on the CFTC and the LBMA and say, what is this thing? You know. And suddenly now we find two trades. It didn't trade at all yesterday, last night. but after drawing attention to it for the last 2 days to the CFTC, literally dozens of dollars below the equivalent contract. Outrageous.
All right. In our remaining time, Andy, I want to get back to this EFP thing real quick so that people understand how it worked, why they were using it, and then why it's basically dried up. Again, the volume, it had gotten so outrageous, the abuse of these things. In the first 15 trading days of March last month, which concludes the 15th day was the 20th, which is the Friday of March, and then QE to Infinity was announced before the COMEX opened on March the 23rd. So in those first 15 days of March, they exchanged out, allegedly for physical, 290,000 COMEX contracts in 15 days. That was, I mean, there was one day that had 38,000 in a day. And this was outrageous. I mean, so they're averaging now 20,000 a day during those first 15 days of March. It immediately dries up. Now, in the first 15 days of April, in the first 15 days of April, they did 57,000. So the volume had already fallen by 80%. In just the past 3 days, they're not even doing 2,000 a day, Andy. Okay? So now, when you're executing that trade, you describe it as a risk-free trade, and that's how it was just getting abused until somebody showed up and actually wanted metal, it seems. Is that why all of a sudden they're not doing it anymore? Because, again, there is no metal?
Yeah, absolutely. Not at those prices. And because that metal is fetching significant premiums and furthermore, delays. I mean, refiner delays out of Switzerland right now, we're being told literally end of May to get some allocation.
Jeez.
Silver, July, before we get any kilo bars. And yes, okay, that the standard bar, which is the 5,000 ounce contract, but that's fetching also very large premiums, which is highly unusual. That should be a 30-cent premium max, maybe 20-cent premium. And so we're seeing these definite yes. So in other words, to answer your question, there is no physical available at these prices, and for immediate delivery, which they're supposed to be now, really. So you just mentioned some volumes there. This is a cash cow. This is the very cash cow they don't want to kill, and that's why they haven't marketed this this 4GC contract.
Is the EFP cash cow?
The EFP cash cow. And essentially, what happened was when that day blew up. And the EFP premiums actually blew up $40 immediately from usually your $2 premium. You can, by the time you net everything out, it's an 80 cent net profit. That's what I mean. 80 cent risk free, which, you know, averaging out, if you're talking, if it used to be around about 16,000 lots per day. So you'd be 1.3 million profits risk free because simply. It was just an exchange of what you'd be long over the counter spot, you'd be short the futures, you would take that contract, you'd meld them together, and you'd square it. Mm-hmm. However, if it didn't make sense to arbitrage it, which is the point I think you're trying to make, there are times when this contract is not arbitrageable, if that's a word. Mm-hmm. But essentially, this is part of what we went to the FCA, and Andrew Bailey was the head of the FCA before he became head of the Bank of England. We said, look, guys, you should be looking at this. It's fine. I understand this is an arbitrage opportunity for the most part, but look at all these days, multiple days, where it made no sense to arbitrage this whatsoever. In fact, it was inverse. So what was happening there was then, these are the ones we're talking about, these liabilities were then rolled into these unreportable 13-day forwards. And this was the focus we were trying to give the FCA and the Bank of England, the focus of, well, why would you even have an EFP trade that day if there was no arbitrage opportunity? Because really, it's the most expensive way of buying bullion. Now, obviously, there could be some ability, some situations there where you have to get out of a trade. But essentially, what blew up on the day, and I think this is what you're getting to, was we just kind of went through. Suddenly, you're being asked for physical.
Right.
Now, you don't have the physical. So the first thing you want to do is get out of that trade. So I'll settle it for cash. Quick, quick, quick. I don't have the physical. But the bid-ask spread suddenly disappears on you, and the futures price goes against you. So, as I say, that's really what went wrong. This is why the EFP market blew up, and this is why they brought the 4GC contract into play. And that, but on the other hand, you've got a lot of whining and upset here in within the CME insiders who have had this cash cow for so many years, and they don't want it to give it up.
So, can I reverse engineer that a little bit, Andy, and say since EFP volume is now 10% of what it was, and since the spread between XAU versus June gold or XAG versus July silver, since those spreads are still there, 1%, 2%, put those two things together, that means, I mean, it's still broken. I mean, this is this process, this scheme, is still in a shambles.
Completely,
Okay.
completely, and it is continues to be evidenced every day. And if you look at those again, no, you can clearly look at these markets that we're so used to, these tight spreads between, say, XAU US dollar. We should be looking at a 20-cent spread between the bid and
Right.
the ask.
Right.
I mean, it's very it's all over the map. It's like two. It's 96 cents right now. It should be 20 cents. It could be $3 in 5 minutes from now.
Right.
It's just ludicrous. I
Right.
mean, this is a broken market. Who the hell wants to make a market like that?
Right.
And this is why I think I'd given you a little bit of a heads up about something
Yeah,
that.
please share that with everybody.
Because I haven't shared this yet. The obviously we without going into too much detail, the over-the-counter spot market is finding it very difficult to operate using COMEX as a hedge, and they're looking for alternatives. And I think this is going to ultimately, what we're going to talk about is ultimately going to default the COMEX, but it won't be in the form of force majeure. It'll be because liquidity is about to exit the paper market conduit because it's broken and it can't be restored. And what's going to happen is this casino, the COMEX casino, is about to lose some key liquidity providers. And why is this? Because a less risky hedging facility is going to be offered by the banks. And yep. It's the same second-tier banks that got hung out to dry 4 weeks ago, when UBS was bailed out after it crashed on its market-making obligations as the LBMA's anchor liquidity provider. So with that in mind, a very liquid physical market alternative is actually now being built. Now, this is huge news, Craig,
Yep.
and all the insiders will ultimately be forced to come on board because, and let's remember, it's a long time since it slipped under the radar that the Chinese bought the bullion vaults of both Deutsche Bank and Barclays.
Yep.
Craig, they own a tons of physical in London. And this is the key. As any physical exchange, it has to have physical liquidity. And it has to be centered in London. It's no good being centered anywhere else. This is the hub. Now, the Chinese, it can't be the COMEX. The Chinese have quietly been playing a waiting game. And with the broken market, it's exactly the moment to capitalize.
Yeah.
And the loser will be the COMEX, which is completely, you can see it for yourself, is broken from the
Right.
much larger price setting market, which, let's face it, sets the fixed price, which is supposed to be what us wholesalers are trying to buy and sell from.
So you're
So
saying
really,
there's actual plans now for an alternative?
Let's just the LME is in the control of the Chinese, and as you know, it's owned
Right.
by the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Now,
Right.
the ultimate liquidity provider is ICBC. and they have virtually unlimited liquidity. Now, the word is that the gold market conduit will move into the competing LME market with the Chinese banks supplying physical to back the over-the-counter market. Now, let's face it, ICBC has the resources to make a physical market in London. But when they do, Craig, they will not offer physical below around $2,200. This will blow the paper market out. Gold is not, should not be priced under $2,200. And so really what this is going to do is going to lower current leverage from hundreds to one, and God knows how many hundreds to one, Craig,
right,
to a more legitimate 10 to one. That would be a ratio that would support the industry, the jewelry industry. There are times when you do need to have a forward, you need to have hedging facilities, sure, but it's anchored. It's got to be anchored,
yeah,
to the over-the-counter gold trading to a real physical price. So in other words, like in any other physical exchange, before you sell something, you have to have it in the vault.
Yeah, there's a novel idea.
Novel, isn't it? And it's required in all physical exchanges, and it must sit there before it's sold. This is going to provide the comfort and the counterparty compliance assurances to these recently disenchanted over-the-counter liquidity providers. And really, you know, we are getting 100% certainty that certain of the traders in the Swiss banks, Swiss trading banks, are being asked to sign personal liability waivers for their banks. This is how scared the banks are in providing liquidity to the market. And you know, these are shotgun clauses, i.e. you may have worked for the bank for a long time, my friend. You sign this bit of paper or there's the door. Now, really? I mean, honestly, you just watch. Goldman will be the first to seize this opportunity to make a physical market, and by crikey, they're long physical for their own book. And you watch the other first-tier whores jump into the game, Craig.
Right.
They're all long. They're all long for their own book. I mean, clearly officials are going to now require – that's going to require that officials need a higher gold price. That's to answer your question. They're going to need it to square up the liquidity imbalances they have. I mean, bloody hell, gold needs to start to factor in unlimited QE, and gold price in dollars is simply got to catch up by necessity. It's that simple.
So so what is expected, I guess, at this point is a new, more physical back, not truly just one-to-one physical, but at least something anchored in reality,
yes,
opening through the LME. That could quickly take prominence, one, because maybe like a Goldman would be involved as well with ICBC. And then they're just like the bell cow. But then you got all these secondary market makers that just got screwed to say, well, hell's bells. This, you know, they're going to migrate over. I would imagine this could all move pretty quickly.
But you know what? The market's broken. There's an opportunity here for somebody that's well positioned. Let's face it, if you've got bullion, you've got, you're already sitting on bullion that you've bought. Two banks, vaults, you've got Barclays bullion, UBS, Deutsche Bank bullion. And you've got, all you need is a liquidity provider, an anchor liquidity provider. And of course, if it makes more sense to make a market in a market the way you're long, and it's a physical market, yeah, you can see it happening. And really, I wouldn't even be mentioning this unless it was at a high level.
Right.
And I think this is the next thing we're going to see is a physical price. We need a physical price.
Yeah. Again, you're not just talking out, you know, making stuff up as you go along. You've heard this from some pretty high level people that that's where we are.
Very high level. Yeah.
So, all right. So as we wrap this up, then the most important thing to watch from here, I would imagine then, is to force everything in this direction where we want it to go, what we want to see is even widening spreads again between spot and these COMEX futures contracts. We want to see a continuance of, I mean, this crazy people showing up at COMEX looking for metal. Because all of those things are signs that what finally blew up has not been repaired, and it makes it all the more likely and speeds up the process of setting up this much better alternative. I mean, I sum that up okay?
You have. And really, what are we saying here? You know, whether you're a trader or whether you're just an investor, your bullion should be in physical form. Now, if you want to hold it yourself to the level you can insure it, great. Most likely it's vaulted in your name for safekeeping. So make sure it is independently vaulted. Make sure that it's segregated in your name. Make sure it's outside the banking system in case there are any bail-in situations. This is not just a cheesy pitch, but if you really, the only way I can see of seeking to gain any alpha from your physical holdings other than sitting on them and letting them appreciate, you could utilize, which is why I'm so interested in, the gold-backed Kinesis currency. And that's going to provide you the alpha as you use this bullion, and it's still segregated in your name. So, you know, however you trade or invest, you have to verify the bullion's title to you. And it never, ever sits on the balance sheet of any institution where it's held in their name. And just be so careful about that, whether you hold it yourself or however you choose to trade it or hold it, just be sure it's in your name.
Andy, I tell you, this has been a fascinating 5 weeks. You know, I keep referring to, now we're almost finished with 6 weeks. I mean, the first 6 weeks of the rest of your life, because, I mean, not only did your life change, you know, when all of a sudden we have overt quantitative easing to infinity from the Fed and everybody else. I mean, that changed everything that day. But it also, I mean, certainly seems as if that was the day that we've all been waiting for. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. I mean, it's not like the whole system just completely broke down in front of you. But it's it was given the final poison, you know, and the system now is on its deathbed, you know, thrashing around and can't be brought back. I mean, I don't know if I'm summarizing that right, but do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, in other words, paper market liquidity is too thin now to support a physical price at this level. Right. It's as simple as that. So, and really, honestly, one has to give one's head a shake if you think that gold, after all this QE, after all these trillions of dollars have been pumped into the system, that any physical asset like gold or silver should not be trading higher than this, than it is now. It's in every other currency is trading at all-time highs. US dollar price gold is so deeply undervalued. And really, it if you're a 5-minute bar trader, chart trader, okay, you're going to wring your hands sometimes. But sit back, enjoy the ride to $2,200, $2,500 bucks. It's not, gold is at a minimum that price. And it's just a question of sitting back and letting it go.
Let it happen.
It will rise. Yeah.
My friend, all the best. Thank you this is 40 some odd minutes of your time. Extraordinarily valuable. And I think it really gave people a much better handle upon, you know, what has happened, what has changed, and why it has changed in the last 6 weeks. It's going to be fascinating to see where we go from here. We'll have to talk again soon.
Yeah, great. It's always great to be with you, Craig, and thanks for all you do, mate.
Oh, geez. I just sit here in my little office and look out the window and bang on a keyboard. I'm not sure anybody actually ever reads it, but I try.
I'm sure that's not true.
Well, thank you, my friend. You stay healthy, and keep us posted, would you?
Okay, certainly will, mate. Certainly.
And from all of us at TFMR, thank you for listening.